Thank you for downloading this New Zealand Sports Radio show. We have a new way that you can support us. There is a link in the notes down below where you can make a one-off donation to New Zealand Sports Radio. Thank you for support and enjoy the show.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Driving More Show. Hi, I'm Paul and I'm going solo this evening. So yes, just me, myself and I. So any quiet moments, if you're listening to the podcast, that's me catching a drink just to dampen the old throat, because it's hard talking on your own constantly for however long this ends up going on for. What are we going to go through this evening? Well, yes, we have the final round of Super Rugby in the regular season, at least. So we'll have a chat about those games that happened at the weekend. And boy, oh boy, it did not go to script. Let's be honest with that one. That also means that four teams have now come to the end of the line, and we'll give them a bit of a post-season review on them. Been some more movement on the Silver Lakes, so probably we'll have a chat about that before the end, and maybe have a chat about some of the stuff that's I guess some stuff where I've been going on with and some news before we kick off into the Super Rugby. So hi, I'm Paul, and this is, you're watching the Driving More Show here on New Zealand Sport Radio, 8 p.m. every Monday, live on Facebook, YouTube and Twitter. On the New Zealand Sport Radio. Also, you can check out the podcast as a recording as well. If you'd like to support the channel, then head over to patreon.com/NZ Sport Radio, and that's how you can support the channel with all the tech and stuff that we use to get out to games, get around games, and obviously bring you these live stream shows as well. So head over there if you'd like to support us. On that, be much appreciated. I've been putting out interviews, opinion pieces, and also my predictions for Super Rugby have all been going on there just for supporters. I guess since last time we actually had, we've had done seven games, because we had Moana versus the Force on Tuesday night. I headed up to Auckland for that game. A game that I guess that I thought Moana would have been targeting more than their game the previous weekend against the Reds over in Australia. But the selection definitely didn't suggest that from the side that was put out. Also, one of the things that Aaron Major said during post-match was that he wanted to make sure that every squad member had a run out in one of the last two games. So he got through, so give everyone a run out in that one. Obviously, it was a storm week, so three games within 8 days. I think it was 7 or 8 days anyway, as well. So from a player welfare point of view, that also was on the line. Got to talk to William Havili after that game. I'll be posting that interview up on there, on the old socials. So check out, do put a like and a follow on the old Facebook page, please. Force came out on top with that one, which meant that they were still in the running for a quarter final spot. We'll get on to more onto that as we head into the weekend's games. Good evening, Simon, who's joined us on the live chat over on YouTube. He's saying congratulations to Pernol Uruguay, who won the South America. So that's the Premier League of Sudamerica. Congratulations to them winning that one. I think the Jaguares or the Argentine team have been kind of the team that have been winning that. But my history, I don't keep an eye on that one as closely as some of the other leagues, to be honest. So we had that ahead of the weekend, and that meant that every single game this weekend had something riding on it as far as the final positions would matter, and also who would face who in the quarterfinals. First up, then we had the Crusaders versus the Reds, I'll be honest, this pretty much meant that the weekend started as we would have kind of expected. I mean, at halftime, the Crusaders were already up 21-3 in that one. The Reds hadn't beaten the Crusaders since 2011 in the final, which the commentators decided to tell us about three or four times before the game had even started. They failed to mention also that the only game that the Reds had won since the crossover game started had been against the Moana Pacifica. So they'd lost the other four New Zealand sides. I think it was more kind of relevant. I know they're five losses from six games over the last six rounds. So the Crusaders, I say, cruised home to that win, 28-15. I guess the Reds won the second half, but by then the game was already over, let's be honest. And that secured the Crusaders second place in the table. It didn't matter how the Brumbies went against Moana Pacifica as far as they were concerned. Reds also, with that loss, meant the Highlanders couldn't overtake them, and they weren't going to overtake the Reds. So we had a replay of that game for the quarterfinals. So basically Friday night, we're going to have the same game as we had last weekend, probably with the Crusaders cruising home to an easy win. But yes, for my full thoughts on that, wait for my predictions on the Patreon page. I'm not sure what more there is to talk about this one. The Crusaders ran a lot for the same number of runs, maybe nearly twice as many meters, or at least half as many again meters than the Reds. Much more effective with all of that. And without Richard Mwanga, etc. So, good win for the Crusaders. They're happy heading in to the quarterfinals. The Reds really have been a mess since they've lost players like Tupu and James O'Connor to injury. Showing just how thin this squad is. They are a very good squad when they get their best 15 out of there. But when they can't, they're not such a good team as we've seen over the last few weeks. That was Friday then. On Saturday, I would also, Friday, that was a 7:30 kickoff, which I think caught a few of us on the hop, because all the New Zealand games up until that weekend, up until Friday, had been 7:05 kickoffs. This was 25 minutes later. I'm guessing that's because it's the first time the Australians didn't have a Friday night game. And that was because the Drua were taking on the Chiefs over in Fiji. Pardon me. Now, I didn't watch this one live because I was driving up to Auckland for the Moana game for that one. The Drua versus the Chiefs finished as a one-point game, 34-35, a one-point win for the Chiefs. A lot closer than we would imagine. Now, I think that's perhaps a bit misleading for this game. The Chiefs were 7-21 up at half time, with just over 10 minutes to go, it was 13-35, so a 22 point lead, 10 minutes to go, and basically a miracle try got the Fijian Drua back into this one. And three tries in 10 minutes, fantastic effort from them, but look, all in what was always going to be a losing cause, let's be honest, by that stage, I think the scoreline a bit misleading in this one. But look, we got in the Fijian Drua. We know the comeback kings, the guys who score more points in the second half, pretty much anyone else. I mean, the way they just turn games around as soon as the defences get tired, and especially if they're going to switch off, which you can imagine the Chiefs probably did with 10 minutes to go, knowing, thinking things were all wrapped up and it was all nice and easy, cruise on home. Oops, no. very, very nearly managed to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory. And with the crowd, as Simon says in the live chat there, over in Fiji, big crowd, people climbing trees to look over the stands to watch this game. Fantastic scenes over in Fiji. And next year, when you imagine the Fijian Drua will have all of their home games in Fiji, are going to be a much more difficult prospect than they were this year when they've been away from home. We'll get on to a season review for them. Cracking game there for the in the end, in at least in that last 10 minutes, let's be honest. The Chiefs doing enough to finish to put pressure on the Brumbies, who were up next against Moana Pacifica. Now, for the post-match interviews from this game, where I had a chat with Aaron Major and also Sokobi Kepu, head over to the Facebook page and have a watch of that. It's getting lots of views, and it's a very good chat with them. But I'll be honest, after 10 minutes, as I said to him, or 10 or 12 minutes, with Sokobi Kepu having been red carded, with the score being 7-0, we also had Christian Leofano heading off the for a HIA. You're really kind of worried for Moana at that point, because I say the two most experienced players off the pitch, they're down to 14 men for 20 minutes trailing. But what happens? Oh no, the Moana can start playing. They can create a massive overlap. They're a player down, and they still created an overlap of like two or three players. And they went in for a try. And they turned things around from being down by 7 points to being up 19-7 at half time, with the Brumbies picking up two yellow cards just before half time as well. And things really did turn around at that point. The Brumbies fought back to being within 5 points at 22-17, but Moana held them at arm's length saw it through to 32-22 to win the game. And fantastic for them to pick up their second win and head into the off-season with the confidence that brings. You'll hear how important that win was from Aaron in those post-match interviews. Also, this is a game that if you listened to the Waddlelad podcast, which I do, I enjoy listening to their previews, and I always agree with their previews, but I enjoy listening to them. And one of the points that they brought up was that this was Moana Pacifica, a team that's had a poor set piece this year, let's be honest. And that's really hurt them not having that platform to attack off against the Brumbies with the best set piece in the tournament. And what do we find? We find actually that the Drua, especially early on, especially early on, were outperforming the Brumbies at set piece. It was an amazing piece of effort there. That all came about because Sokobi Kepu took the forwards to one side and gave them a right old spanking verbally. As he says in the post-match interview, sometimes mum and dad have to give you a smack to get you behaving properly. And that's what he kind of needed to do for the forwards there, to because he knew they could do it, but they just weren't putting it out there. So that was important for the Moana Pacifica. Look, a game where the Fijian Drua also could have, but the Fijian Drua, look, it's only second game in front of the home crowd. You can see why they were up for that game. From Moana Pacifica's point of view, they're rooted to the bottom of the table. They could not move themselves up. There was nothing in this game for them from a competition standing point of view. And yet they definitely turned up for this game. Shows a character in there. And Aaron explained, because one of the talks about is that we had so much to play for. You're like, well, you didn't, but you still turned up. You still played very well. And that was great to see in that one. It's just about then what the focus is to how it's about family and putting that and putting performances in for other people, not just about the result for them, which is which bodes well for the future. But so we'll talk about that as part of the after I've gone through the rest of the games. As I was driving home, the Waratahs versus the Blues, a game that some people were calling an upset, suggesting that, that the Waratahs were favourites going to this game. I mean, the bookies thought that. I most definitely didn't. Was surprised that everyone was so heavy talking up the Waratahs in this game. Sure, the Blues rested a bunch of players. But look, they had two yellow cards in that first half and still led 3-0 at half-time. Now, the Tars then got two early tries in the second half to take the lead. The Blues came back well with their forwards, and this game was all tied up with time running out. Now, obviously, with the golden points rules in Super Rugby, you know you can go for a bit of a speculative-ish drop goal if you want to, because you know you're going to have extra time anyway. You might as well try and win it rather than just kind of meekly go into that. So, but still, hat tip to Zahn Sullivan, who put over the drop goal from outside his 22 to win this one. This wasn't like Burden Barrett's one, where Burden Barrett had advantage. It was definitely a harder kick than that one. So well done to Zahn Sullivan for knocking it over. And yes, the Blues, for the first time ever, as far as I can tell, have won back-to-back games with drop goals at the death. So wow. Big change of mentality. Well, hey, a couple of players there will at least know they can do it if they are put under pressure in future. So that was that came down to that. But so you got to say the Tars most improved team in the competition, yes, will cause some. Or will mean definitely that team, whatever they're coming up against in the quarterfinals, which we'll talk about in a second, they will definitely be a threat, even though they are playing away from home. We then headed over to the West Australia for the midnight game. And that always confuses me when you see it's sort of 12 o'clock on Sunday. But yes, that was midnight in the early hours. The Hurricanes up 6-17 at halftime. Just running into the half, but the Force pulled themselves back to 13-17 on half time. The Hurricanes really, the Force showing how dogged they were to keep themselves in this fight. Second half, the Hurricanes 75% territory. They played the second half where they wanted to, down in Western Force territory. But they still came up short and lost this one at 27-22. Now, admittedly, three missed drop goals. That's 6 points. That would have been enough. But then again, the Force didn't get. The Force also missed a penalty as well. So, the Hurricanes. You will not be happy with this performance at all. You have all that territory. You need to come away with points. You can't camp down there and not get points. So, whether that means kicking three sometimes, whether that means actually bringing the drop goal out and getting some points. But the Force, 8 penalties only all game. So really good discipline under a lot of pressure. 14 by the Hurricanes. Poor discipline matched up with not finishing chances that lost them the game. That put the Force with the possibility of winning, of a quarterfinal if the Highlanders didn't pick up a single point in their game against the Rebels. The Rebels, the Highlanders, were leading in Melbourne by 12 points in that first one. Oh, and thank you to the reviewer. That's the first Force win over the Hurricanes since 2007 and the biggest ever winning margin. It's only a 5-point winning margin, so not a big winning margin, but still well done to the Force, and thank you to the reviewer for that stat attack there. So over to Melbourne. So the Highlanders leading the Rebels by 12 points, but the Rebels come back into this one. It's 14-18 at half time. Then in the second half, the Rebels again prove to to be dogged, get the final try to get themselves into that 1 point lead. The Highlands letting the Force back in time and time again. To be fair to the Royals, they dominated territory in that second half, but some two teams that I think were playing particularly well. But then again, should we expect them to? Let's be honest, we're talking about the Rebels here, who are 10th in the table, and the Highlanders, who we know have been disjointed all season. So it never was going to be, it didn't promise to be a great game of rugby, to be honest, from that point of view. Tense, absolutely. But skills-wise, perhaps lacking in some cases. You can probably tell that by the 18 scrums and the 31 turnovers in this game. As a weekend, we were back up to 16.7 scrums per game, which gets us back up, which is definitely higher than the last few weeks, which have been down around the 12-13 mark. Perhaps the pressure of the situation getting to a number of players in this one. Also, turnovers, just under 30 turnovers, 29.7 is the most turnovers per game all season for a round. So a lot of turnovers this weekend, quite a few scrums as well. I'd say pressure perhaps telling on a lot of players as it was around the pointy end of the season. That means that we have four quarterfinals, as you'd quite expect. Blues versus the Highlanders, the Crusaders versus the Reds, a repeat of last weekend, the Chiefs hosting the Waratahs, and the Brumbies hosting the Hurricanes. The Chiefs and Brumbies switching places is probably the one thing that most people didn't see coming ahead of this weekend, because that meant the Brumbies had been beaten by Moana Pacifica. So, that upset changes things, because it could have been an all-Australian quarterfinal there between the Brumbies and the Waratahs, but it's not to be. So, as I say, I'll be putting my predictions for that over on the patreon.com/NZSportRadio later in the week. So keep an eye out for that. Simon Hughes, why did they keep changing the trophy for Super Rugby Cup every couple of years? Well, this is a new Super Rugby competition, isn't it? It's Super Rugby Pacific. And therefore, are the South Africans allowed them to use the old Super Rugby trophy? I don't know. I'm not a big fan of the trophy, which looks like kind of like a Dracula's collar around a rugby ball, doesn't it? Which is supposed to be some sort of wave and reflections of blue to talk about all the different colours of the sea and blah, 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 whatever. Also, it doesn't look like you can drink out of it either. Maybe you can talk about the base perhaps being hollow, and perhaps you can turn upside down to drink out of it. But there you go. And so it says, even when we had South Africa to talk, they kept changing the trophy as well. Look, let's be honest, one of the problems with Super Rugby is they've been too gimmicky and keep going, the problem must be that we need to change something, rather than the problem must be that actually we need to do fan engagement better. We need to market it better. So another trophy must obviously make it much more likely that people will watch and turn up to games. Not. But hey, let's have another gimmick. Let's waste some more money on another trophy. Win up the day. At the end of the day, it's about fan engagement, it's about having stories, it's about history and heritage. It's not about new flash trophies. Anyway, those are your quarterfinals that are coming up. As I say, that means four teams now have had their season over. So let's give them a bit of a rating. If you want to throw into the live chat, then feel free to give me your A, B, C, D rankings for the Force, Rebels, Fiji, and Drua, and Moana Pacifica. I'm going to give you my idea as to how I think they've done compared to pre-season expectations. So, first up, the Force finished ninth on 23 points, four wins from the season with seven bonus points. Equal points to the Highlanders, just missing out on the the playoffs but a big difference between the Highlanders, points difference of three, the Force points difference of a minus 117 So a big difference there on what's between those two sides, as you can kind of tell. The Force, look, a lot of people are thinking of the Force as being a team that's been around for ages now, but in reality, when they got kicked out of Super Rugby, they lost their squad. They got given very short notice to get into Super Rugby last year, so they had to throw a squad together at the last minute. This time, they've had a proper pre-season heading into this game, heading into the season, and we're expecting a lot more from them. I think we saw a little bit of that initially, and then they kind of lost their way from my point of view. The reviewer has said the Force get a C grade compared to pre-season expectation, and that's perhaps a C plus or a B minus is probably where I would probably put them there, because yes, if they'd been more competitive in more games, that minus 117 is a lot of points, let's be honest, over those games. Sure, they picked up 7 bonus points, but they really did get walloped quite a few times. So I think they really are. That C minus one. They're the ones that have got money with Twiggy Forrester's money behind them. Now, look, we're going to see a bit of change next season. Holmes, Kahui, I've gone blank as to the All Black lock that's retiring as well. But three old players who bring a lot of experience to that side are stepping down, and I think they've done a very good job there. And all three of them are sticking around in Western Australia and will be getting involved in coaching roles, which shows you they weren't just mercenaries in there for the retirement fund. They are people who are based in Western Australia, who were part of the community there.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Who joined the squad and had been there for a couple of years already in coaching kind of role. So I think people had misconceptions as to why they were there and in that squad. Now, obviously, that means it's going to be a younger squad next year. But I think that's given them, Jeremy Thrush, thank you, was the player, which has given them some stability heading into this. But I still think they underperformed this year. As Simon says, unfortunate, really screwed up the cards for the playoff spot. They didn't perform as gritty as expecting them to in quite a few games, unfortunately. And so I'm happy with that sort of C-plus level. The Rebels, then, a team coming into this season, and I'll be honest, my expectations for them were pretty low. They didn't disappoint, as it were. Reviewer has gone a C-minus for them on this one. I'm probably in that C to C-minus kind of level. I just don't see where the growth is and the future for this side. The Force, I know they're getting young players in. I can see some continuity. They're getting a new coach in. We'll see how that that pans out for the Force. Someone does make a point that the Rebels did improve towards the later in the season, and they did show some improvements in the latter part there. But again, 4 wins out of 10, including, but importantly for them, sorry, quick drink. The final game was a win, as it was the fourth, that matter, which means they can head off with some confidence into that off season for the Rebels. But yes, I would expect to see the Rebels in this same sort of position next year. I just can't see where their growth is, and I can't see them climbing out this bottom third of the table next season either. Just can't see where that's going to come from. The reviewer points out, that the Rebels started with losing their first five on the bounce. Yes, they didn't start the season well at all. Whereas the Rebels started and then sort of petered out, the Rebels did build, but it took a long time for that building to show any kind of results and for us to see it at all. So, happy with that C minus kind of level four or C for the Rebels. You could even perhaps go as far as D, to be honest with you. I think it has been a poor season for the Rebels. If they hadn't had shown that uplift over the last few rounds, it would definitely would have been down there. So perhaps they just lift themselves out of that D position. The Fijian Drua, a team that promised and then sort of failed to deliver and then promised again, weren't they? An up and down team. Let's watch now look, a brand new team, as you'd expect. So our expectations were that perhaps they'd get one win, and that one win would be against Moana, and that they'd lose all the rest of their game. So 2 wins is actually perhaps in some ways a better return than some of us would have expected. I think that some of those early performances perhaps meant that we ended up expecting a bit more than we should have done from this team. We were brand new in here. We were going to get up and down performances. The performances in Fiji towards the end of the season have been really good, and it's been obvious that actually with that support behind them, they are going to be proved to be dangerous. I think they lost both of those ones over in Fiji, but even so, just the competitiveness they showed in those games was good. Minus 257 tells you they lost a lot of games by a lot of points, losing 12 games with 4 bonus points in this one, and it's those 2 bonus points that put them above Moana in the table. So look, a team I'm not as close with as I have with Moana, but I think, look, a B, because as I say, they got those 2 wins. We've had good performances over in Fiji, which is a good sign. One of the things that that I would say is that being away from home meant that some amount of discipline could have been put into the into the players. They're going to have to maintain that back home with them when they're sort of not on tour. And we'll see how that goes. Simon says, 2 wins is what the Sunwolves got in their first season. Also what the Crusaders got in their first season as well. So, look, I think Fiji and Drua, there's definitely optimism. They've brought some pizzazz to this tournament and have been a good addition in here for this one. So, I say, not a team that I've managed to get to or see in the flesh. Because I think the Chiefs, I'm trying to think where the Chiefs game was, the team I'm not, I can't speak of the culture, I can't speak of what I think is going on there as much, but I think they are heading in, I do think it's positive. Finally, Moana Pacifica, again, 2 wins from 12 games, 2 bonus points, puts them bottom of the table, but that win in the, Sunwolves 1 win and a draw in their first season. But that final win at the end of the season will mean that they go in the off-season with a with positivity, and that'll help them head into that off-season. Minus 247 points, 10 less than the Fijian Drua, but still, yes, there have been some big losses. That win, golden points, a win over in extra time over the Hurricanes, and then this win against the Brumbies. So wins against decent sides as well. So they're not just bricked up. So they've not been the weaker teams that they've got the wins against. That's 2 wins against decent teams. With 13 players having come from this squad into the Tongan national team, I think that shows that the whole bunch of players there, people like William Hevili, for example, who I think I need to check the exact numbers, but he's probably played about as much Super Rugby as he has NPC, is getting an opportunity now at international level, and he's looking to be back at Moana Pacifica next year. So that can only be good for him. So to get 13 players into that Tongan group shows that a lot of the talk about this being a team to help the Tongan and Samoan international teams also wasn't all just hot air. And it's not all about capturing Pacific Island players for the All Blacks, as has been alluded to by some people. Having heard from the coaches, having heard from some people behind the scenes as well, off the record, the culture and the positiveness of the work environment has been fantastic. They've had the hardest schedule out of anybody, as the reviewer says. Really hard to know how Moana Pacifica would have gone without disruption. That's right. They missed those games at the beginning of the season through COVID. They then also missed the Melbourne game through COVID as well, which meant they ended up having, 4 storm weeks during this one to catch up those games. The win against the Hurricanes, which came like 3 or 4 weeks into the 4 or 5 weeks into the season, it was just before they opened up to full crowds, but that was the first time they'd actually been in their home training base as well. They'd been having to rent or be in other places to train before that because the home base wasn't ready yet. The short time to set up the team, this all applies to the Fiji and Drua as well, for that matter, on this point, is that, yeah, short, no, not a real pre-season. Short time to set up the team meant that, look, yes, this was not an ideal preparation, and then the season all went wrong for Moana Pacifica. So next year, they'll have a pre-season. They'll have a back office that actually has the experience of running a team for a year. So things just like booking hotels, flights, getting people to trainings, organising all that kind of stuff will be smoother because people will have done it and have a better idea of how to do it next year. So hopefully that they will head into next. So I think I can see lots of positiveness for Moana. I can see how they can grow next year. The squad will be more experienced. They'll have a proper preseason going in there, and they shouldn't have the storm weeks and the disruptions they've had this year. Will they take games over to the Pacific Islands? Pardon me. We'll just have to wait and see. I have requested I've reached out to Moana and asked if can I have a can I have a an interview with the CEO to talk about this, how the season's gone and what next season will look like, having had a proper preparation time for it. So we'll see if I get that, then that'll be good to let people know as to what's going on in that space. It'll be interesting to see, but I think, yeah, Moana Pacifica come out of this positives. Again, I'll give them a B, like I gave the Fiji and Drua. Fiji and Drua probably promised more earlier on than we've seen than Moana Pacifica did. But at the end of the day, as you can see by those having a very similar points difference, sure, 2 less bonus points, that actually their performances over the season have been pretty similar to the Drua from that point of view. And they'd be much more disrupted than anyone else in this one. So should be good for Moana Pacifica. So and the fourth squad, I think we said, what was that, C plus-ish, Rebels C minus, maybe a C, Fiji and Drua and Moana Pacifica both Bs for my mind on that one. As the reviewer says, the schedule next year is easier for them by default. Yes, it will be easier next year for that one. So that kind of wraps up Super Rugby for now. As I say, we've got the quarterfinals coming up, so do join us next Monday. We'll go over those. I also look forward to semi-finals. Also, check out the old Patreon for my predictions, probably coming out on Wednesday for that one. Also coming up this weekend we'll be kicking off on Monday is the Pacific Four they call it again the Pacific Four, something or other. Anyway, series, which has the Black Ferns, the Wallaroos, and the USA and Canada. So the Black Ferns playing the Wallaroos on Monday in Tauranga Domain. I'll be at that game, so hopefully bring you reaction from the from those two games between the Black Ferns, Wallaroos, and also the USA versus Canada as well. I've just got a media release through from the Black Ferns, and it says not for publication. So I'm not going to say I can't get any details about it, but what I would do a hat tip on the Black Ferns is there is something happening every single day for the media from Tuesday all the way through to match day. So they're definitely giving the opportunity for the media to get information, to get stories to publish for people. So hopefully we'll see plenty of articles over the next week, plenty of interviews with players, etc., talking about talking about these games in the run-up to hopefully build some hype around this one. These games, sciences, are apparently on Spark Sport. Interesting one there with the New Zealand game on delayed coverage on TV3. So Spark Sport, not on Sky. I guess that's because Spark Sport, this will be a World Rugby tournament, and Spark Sport have got all the World Rugby tournament rights, TV rights for that. So yes, Friday is a World Rugby media event, including all of the team captains. So yes, so that's why it's on Spark Sport, folks, and not on Sky. It'll be interesting for that one. Look, Tauranga Domain is a difficult venue for me because there's no power and there's no Wi-Fi normally. So hopefully we'll have some power from the media. Maybe I'll just have to spend some money on the old mobile to get internet access for those games. But I don't actually have Spark Sports, so going to be interesting for that one. I won't be able to watch. I'll be at the games in Auckland the following weekend, but I'll miss the games up in Fitianga. Whangarei, one of the two. I've gone blank. I always get those two mixed up. I won't be. That'll be interesting. I hadn't realised they were going to be on Spark Sport rather than Sky. So anyway, Simon also says there's a feasibility study looking at increasing the Tauranga Domain Stadium, which at the moment is one stand. The other side is all temporary seating for the MPC, and there are no floodlights. Interesting one. So hence why all of Bay of Plenty's games this season are afternoon games. Be interesting to see what their attendance is like and whether that improves with that. A couple of news pieces then, and what I probably should talk about was that Pablo Matera, his yellow card for that tip tackle, which I think a lot of us thought should have been red. Well, he has not been cited, and so is available for the quarterfinals. There we go. Also in the news is that the Hamilton Sevens will be back next year, January the 21st and 22nd. So a good run-up or pre-event ahead of Super Rugby next year with that those Sevens, that Sevens tournament. I did notice something about Sevens over the weekend as well. So there probably was some Sevens, but I must admit I did not keep an eye on that one. Just very quickly in the Sevens, so yes, the Australia men beat the New Zealand men 14-19 in the final there, with Fiji beating Samoa in the bronze playoff for that one, which means the overall standings for that have South Africa at the top, ahead of Australia, Argentina and Fiji. Over on the women's side of things, he says, and I can't find where that, so there's a go. Last event was the previous weekend already, which was one of the Black Ferns beats Australia, or the Wallaroos, in the final four, that one. Finally, then, let's have a quick chat about Silver Lake. Now, apparently, this is going to a vote this Thursday with the provinces. Apparently, there's one province that still is unsure. But overall, I think we're all expecting it to get rubber stamped and to go through. Apparently, there has been a report done by PricewaterhouseCoopers, which has mentioned brought up three issues with this. But they say overall, they're positive about it. But there are three risks on this one. One of them is that once it's sold, you're not going to be able to buy it back. I think we all kind of knew that this was a one-way trip here. Apparently, also the rules have been changed so that around who Silver Lake can sell it to, and there's a broader number of people who they can sell to, and there's an expectation that Silver Lake will want to get the money back within 5 to 10 years. So, pardon me, it gives you the kind of time frame that New Zealand Rugby would be with a new partner in that space, and they wouldn't have control over who it was sold to. The other risk was that. Because Silver Lake will be setting up two entities, one of which handles all the commercial pieces of New Zealand Rugby, which they'll have like a 5 to 8% holding in, but they'll have an 85% on the Global Rugby Operations, Global Rugby Opportunities, which is for rugby opportunities outside of New Zealand for them to partner with New Zealand Rugby on. Now, because of that difference in holding, is going to lead to a conflict of interest? Will they want to put things into Global Rugby Opportunities rather than COMLP? We'll have to wait and see. So that bit from a governance point of view, I think is a bit of an issue. The final one was that they have to grow revenues by 8.1% a year for this actually makes sense for how much you're selling. So can they grow it by that much? So those are the three risks that they've brought up. I think we could have come up with a couple of those ourselves. Fairly obvious that you can't put the genie back in the bottle and they have to grow revenues, otherwise it's not worth doing. Those two we kind of knew. The other one, interesting on that one. The kind of pieces that they are looking at increasing revenue streams is things like executive coaching and All Blacks clinics. They reckon that could bring in 47 million over a few years. Also, various opportunities in esports and virtual signage and merchandising and a new streaming platform, which apparently could bring over 20 million in over 5 years. So who knows what that streaming platform is. Is that just purely for global audiences or does that signify a movement away from Sky Sports? We'll have to wait and see on that one. Just a reminder as to kind of where they also, PwC says that New Zealand Rugby doesn't necessarily need this much money right now. The reminder that money would be used for, part of it would go back into seed capital for COMLP to work. That's 38 million. The 37 million will be going into to basically stakeholders, so you're looking at your provinces, etc., getting a bumper there. 60 million apparently into a legacy fund to encourage community participation in rugby. That's up from 29 million. 120 million into reserves. That's down from 151 million in there, and then 8 million. In costs of doing the deal. So that's also PwC note that no one else has ever done this before. Now, they don't say that's a positive or negative, but just look, New Zealand Rugby is trying to do something that no one else has done before over this one. So it's interesting to see how. On this one, look, at the end of the day, if the funds are used to grow the game, properly, then it's not necessarily a bad thing to do. But do I trust the current administration to be able to to use this money properly? I'm not really sure. I've not seen any evidence while I've been in New Zealand as to the New Zealand Rugby Administration looking at being able to grow the game. What we've seen since I've been here is definitely a decline in the game and an interest in the game over that time. So that's my main concern as to how they do they know how to spend it. Now, at least putting these into a legacy fund, putting this into reserves, isn't blowing all the money straight away in a similar way that the RFU did with their Rugby World Cup windfall from 2015, which was burnt through very, very quickly. New Zealand Rugby seems to be, as they have much more sense than that, which is good to see. From the stuff articles, the leaked report states the cash influx from investment could help grow the game and, in quotes, shore up the wider rugby system, close quotes, while viewership and participation declines, and allow New Zealand Rugby to take, in quotes, increased risk and pursuit of new global revenue streams, close quotes. I'm not sure that global revenue streams is the problem with New Zealand Rugby. It seems to be pretty good at that when you think of your INEOSs, your AIG, etc. I think they've done pretty well in that space. The shore up the wider rugby system, that's the problem where I'm not sure that I have confidence that New Zealand Rugby can really use the money wisely. So there you go. Those are my thoughts on the Silver Lake. They haven't really changed greatly from when it first was announced in all of this piece. So we'll just have to see how this all pans out. One of Simon's points in here is how can they stop Silver Lake from selling it to Russian oligarch or the Middle East? In this current situation, that would be a very a bad situation to be in if it had been sold to somebody like that. So yeah, you do wonder what controls are in place around who Silver Lake can sell to, especially as it says that the controls have been reduced. So anyway, Thursday is the vote. We should hear more by the end of the week as to whether this is going ahead or not. At this stage, I'd be very surprised if it didn't, to be honest with you. There's been some talk that basically Silver Lake have been losing patience, but if they're still in with votes, then I think this is pretty much a rubber stamping and that it will go through now that they've got the Rugby Players Association on board. So up this weekend, we've got the four quarterfinals. I can't make any of those games. I'm making it to FMG Stadium due to family commitments, unfortunately. But I will be, as I say, in Tauranga for the Black Ferns versus the Wallaroos and the USA versus Canada on the women's rugby side of things. Do look out for coverage from those from me. Stay safe and have a great week, everybody. See you back here Monday, 8 p.m.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host Niñas Bien Podcast.
We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.